Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. And boys, as the holidays are approaching, it's getting colder outside, and I've been enjoying sipping Lagaris Roasters Happy Rant Signature Blend in the morning and throughout the day. And Piper, Lagaris Roasters, the good people at Lagaris Roasters, with whom we are in business, they have a special business offer for the month of December, do they not?
They do, good through the 21st. So that is the Friday before Christmas, which should be the week that this episode releases. If you use the code HAPPY20, you'll get a 20% discount on your purchase. So that means you have about one more week to order coffee for all of your friends and family, and you know, all, you know, 6, 7, 8 bags for yourself. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you have a wonderful holiday and get to carry you over into the new year, because they're actually going to shut down for Christmas. This is what family businesses do, especially when they care about their family. They close the doors for a little while to celebrate the holiday. So it's good through the 21st. Use the code HAPPY20. Get some delicious. They have Brazilian roast. They have the Happy Rant Signature Roast. They have a couple other podcast signature roasts, which aren't nearly as good as the Happy Rant Signature Roast. And then they also have tea. We have a Happy Rant tea that's like a strong black blend with sort of an alpiney kind of flavor to it. If you're a tea drinker, which I am on occasion, not a regular tea drinker, but on occasion, it's really good. So check those out and use the code HAPPY20 and make sure you do it by the end of the day on the 21st, or you'll miss out on your discount and they will have closed their doors for the week of Christmas.
You know what? Do this. Buy a bag for each of your 12 reformed children. Do you feel like if every young family in Reformedom did that, Piper, that we would be rich? We would be legitimate coffee moguls at that
point.
Yeah,
and Hector Lagaris would be, you know, he would like buy his own coffee plantation somewhere.
Absolutely. Which is really the goal.
If you have 12 children, you probably need 12 bags of coffee. Like that seems reasonable to me.
That's right. Absolutely. Amen. So big Reformed families, if you're listening, get a bag in honor of each of your children. And we will reap the benefit as a company. So it's sort of cause marketing, Piper, in the sense that with every bag of Lagaris Roasters coffee you buy, a small portion of the proceeds go to us. So,
and since we're not profitable, I think we can call ourselves a nonprofit. So that means you're donating to a nonprofitable entity.
Absolutely. No, I love it. Everybody wins in this scenario, Piper. And speaking of winning, I have some breaking news here on the program. I have some news that I'd like to break. This came off my fax machine this morning, so I got to produce the fax here in my studio. And Piper, let me take a minute to cue up the breaking news music, okay? So I got to type that in here. Are you guys ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, boys, we've got a little breaking news, and the breaking news is, was our boy Ron Martin actually published by the Gospel Coalition a week or so ago? Did this happen? Is this a thing? Ron, you are on the program, so weigh in. Did you actually get one of these essays published by the Gospel Coalition finally?
Baby, here's the thing.
Okay.
There was a time when Big R got published quite a bit on TGC.
Yeah.
And then I kind of started writing for other organizations.
Oh, you got too busy writing for other organizations.
I got too busy. Uh-huh. And then I returned and then, you know, submitted some articles, and, I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works at TGC now that it's become what it's become, but, submitted something, I think 4 to 5 months ago, and it just dropped out of the blue.
I love it, baby.
It was just like waking up one morning, and there it was, just sitting there, like on Christmas morning, all the gifts surrounding the tree,
yeah,
like hoping you would get something, but not really believing it. And then there it is, just sitting there.
You're like the little kid on the Polar Express with like the hole in his pocket, and the TGC article drops out of it. Now, baby, are you does life feel a little bit differently now? Are you walking a little taller? Does your wife look at you differently now that you're published by the TGC? Does she have that glimmer in her eye of You know, I'm no longer sharing a home with just Ronald J. Martin. I'm sharing a home with a TGC author.
I think it feels like, oh, it's a return back to what things once were.
Right. The way things should be.
It's a return to how things need to be.
Yes. So, I love it. I love it. Well, yeah. Baby, from the entire program and the entire Happy Rant community, we tip our cap to you. Congratulations. Your life
Pass these along, we also received a pile of congratulations from listeners via social media. They were exceptionally enthusiastic. They did have one mild critique of said article, and it was that you were several points shy of 9.
Yeah, so, yeah, I know.
You know, there's room for growth, but it was a really good first step to get back.
I think that's why I don't fit in with TGC, is because I never usually go above 3 points. That's kind of my own personal rule. The other thing that was funny about this one, boys, was that they sent me the article as they posted it, and I barely remembered the article. So it was one of those ones where it was so long ago, and I'm reading it, and I'm going, man, I remember one of these things. I don't remember writing half of this. So it was kind of it was like me. So this is what's crazy, right? When they wait that long, it's like I'm benefiting from the article I want others to benefit from, because it feels like I'm reading it for the first time with zero recollection of what it was.
Well, there you go.
That's the best thing about this. You can go back and be like, man, that was good.
Yeah.
That was really good. You can be real impressed with yourself.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, who wrote that article? Oh, I wrote that article. I was like, who wrote it? Oh, that was me.
Oh, that was me, because it's 3,000 words shy of what they usually are on this website.
And it was so long ago. I don't even know. I don't even know if what I wrote is true anymore. Like, I don't even know if
Baby,
what I
listen
said,
to me.
If those
Ask
things I said are even true anymore.
It's an A. It's an A article. Because everybody
now,
gets
baby,
an
are
A.
Are you saying that because everybody in college gets A's now?
Of course.
It's impossible
Everyone's
to get a
an A student. Everyone is exceptional. They're all amazing. And you are too.
And what happens? And what happens if I don't even turn in the article? What's your response?
I'm giving you an extension until the middle of next semester. You've got until.
I mean, what if I'm like Big T? I don't know if I can get to this until 2020. You're going to be cool with that, right?
Oh, it's absolutely fine. Just don't have your parents call. That's the only rule of thumb. Yeah. As long as your parents don't call, then we're all good. Everybody
wins. So I don't ever have to finish any of my work, technically. It can always be forthcoming.
Correct. Yeah, correct. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Oh, boys, this is it's a happy day when we can celebrate with Ron about getting published at TGC. But we have urgent radio business to conduct. And boys, with the reformed world just repopulating the earth at a breakneck pace, I've come up with something that I want to run by you, and I want to see if it works. I want to see if it has legs. I want to see if it has legs like all those new reformed babies out there. And what I've come up with is a reformed theologian name generator. This is kind of an homage to all the name generating games that we kind of grew up with in the 90s, where you would pair, like something in your house with like the name of your first street or whatever. So, what I've got here, boys, and I want us to work through this is, what's your reformed theologian name? So here's the formula. The first street that you lived on. So think back to childhood homes, the first street you lived on, plus the last name of the nearest theology book in your office, plus your own last name. So I'll give you a second to think about it. And Piper, do we want to start with you? Do you have one ready? At the ready?
Hold on. I'm browsing my shelf to see what qualifies as a theology book.
Well, that's an interesting. Should we ask the resident seminarian? There's only one person on this program who's taken seminary classes, Piper, and it's the great Ron Martin.
Yeah, I think we should take the man of the cloth, the seminarian himself, to go first, probably because he has a wealth of theology books to choose from.
He's literally reclining in a pile of theology books right now.
Okay, so it's first street name, it's book closest,
yeah,
and then current last name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I guess your last name will always be current.
That's it. Yeah. That's the magic.
Unless you're a woman.
Yeah.
All right. So here's mine. Are you ready?
Yeah. Lay it on us.
Dude, this one's legit. I'm just telling you boys right
now.
Dude,
mine's legit too. I'm excited about it.
This sounds like one of those new school made up reformed names. Okay. I'm just telling you. Here it is.
Yeah.
Ecclestone Peterson Martin.
Oh, that's so good. Dude, that's so good.
Did you say Ecclestone or Echo Stone?
Ecclestone with an L, Ecclestone Peterson Martin. That's epic, man.
Dude, that's huge.
I think that's legit.
That's strong.
Ecclestone Peterson Martin. I dig it.
I mean, that's one of the most made up names that people are naming their kids right now of all time, I think.
Yeah, that's dope. That's like a cross between like Harry Potter world and theologian in just because that has such a ring to it.
Yeah. Dude, I dare any of our reformed listeners who are getting ready to have their fourth kid right now to name their son Ecclestone.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there.
By fourth, you mean ninth. Yeah.
Right.
I dig it. Ecclestone. What was the Ecclestone Peterson Martin?
Ecclestone Peterson Martin.
Yeah, I dig it. I've got mine ready, boys. Mine, I think, works too. I think mine works as a name, as a full name, but it also works with, like initial potential. You know how the guys like to use their initial. So mine is Greenwood Grudem Cluck. GG Cluck. Whoa. Greenwood Grudem Cluck. GG is so over the top. I feel like I could be a guitar player in Motley Crue with the name GG Cluck. It's like Nikki
Sixx. Isn't that like a nickname for grandmothers too, though? Like, don't people
GG?
In the South, everybody's got a nickname for their grandparents. It's not like grandma and grandpa. It's always like Meemaw and Capaw and whatever. GG's on the list.
Yeah, I could be a grandmother or a theologian with this name. So I feel like
what's great about that name too is that it works with a daughter. And I know most Reformed families are hoping they don't have daughters, works. This one works for a girl.
Dude, our condolences to any Reformed families who have had daughters. I mean, I know that's tough. But.
Guys, can we take a moment of silence?
Exactly.
But don't worry. They'll change their name as soon as you marry them off to the local seminarian. So.
They'll change their name as soon as you arrange their marriage. Which is only a matter of time. And by that, I mean about 13 years. So
a lot of grieving for me and Pipe, given our, our offspring situation.
Tough, dude. You don't have an heir to your
been really tough.
You don't have an heir really to your tough. TGC article writing empire. Who do you hand the keys to that Ferrari off to?
Don't know, man. Unless my daughter becomes an understudy to like Christine Hoover or Jen Wilkin. I don't know what hope there is,
dude. I hope she's studying at the Jen Wilkin School of Women in Reformed Theology, which
the
I really wish was
the JWA, Jen Wilkin Academy.
Jen Wilkin Academy, JWA. Yeah, J-Wa. That's great. Piper, what's your Reformed theologian name per our formula?
It is Elliot Bonhoeffer Piper.
Oh my gosh, that works so well.
Except that Bonhoeffer Piper sounds like the hyphenated last name of like a liberal psychologist or something.
That's true. Gladys Bonhoeffer Piper.
The seminal research on, gender changes or something like that.
Right.
That has to be that has to be an EB Piper though, Pipe.
Yeah, that's an EB, which is good. That works well.
EB sounds amazing.
It does.
I love EB.
There's a strong history of brilliant writers who are EBs. Mm-hmm. Not so much in the Reformed tradition, but E.B. White, for example.
Yeah.
So I'd take that. But yeah, Elliot Bonhoeffer Piper is that's a mouthful, though.
That's incredible that I don't know. I'm just thinking. I'm reflecting, boys.
Yeah.
Like I do when I take seminary classes, and what I'm coming to right now is I can't believe I don't know somebody named Elliot Bonhoeffer something right now.
Baby, still like though, you get
that's
an,
so obvious. That's
you get an
so
A for
obvious.
That reflection, though. That's really good reflection.
You know what? If I don't turn in that reflection for about a year, are we still good?
Baby,
still
listen to me. Take your time. Take your time. It's still an A.
You needed a little more time to reflect.
Really Absolutely. Quick, give everybody some context with what we're talking about, which is that it seems like students now in sort of the current environment, like they always get A's. And they have lots and lots of grace time to get in their assignments. Lay that out really quickly, Cluck, what we were talking about.
Yeah, it's what you just said. Yeah. It's literally verbatim what you just said.
Correct. That's it.
Yeah.
You get an A for that answer.
Exactly. Yeah. Like if that were a speech in a speech class, you would get an A for it. It's a little different environment than it was when we went to college, boys. And at the risk of sounding like an 85-year-old man, it's just, it's taken a little adjusting, I think, for all of us to get used to it. But
what does it feel like for you, Big T, just to obviously the only grade you give out is an A. So how does that help your grading process at finals? Do you even look at the papers, or do you just like scratch out an A on those things? And you're drinking eggnog like in 5 minutes flat.
Piper, I feel like we're debuting a segment called called get my co-host Ted fired from his day job.
Well, I'm not like sure every I'm comfortable episode, with this. Every episode is like walk the tightrope of getting fired in the Southern Baptist Convention. So
yeah, if everyone takes it that serious, we should have been fired a long time ago.
That's true. No, Big R, I refuse to answer that question. College is amazing. It's a wonderful experience. It's going to be the best 4 to 6 years of your life. So cool. I'm going
to
leave it at that.
I can't wait to get an A in your class.
Yeah, absolutely. Come audit a class, baby. Come take a class. So I'm sure you would do a wonderful job. But boys, in order to do a wonderful job at radio, we need to continue working through these topics. And boys, literally, like as we were speaking, I got an email from a student who wants to talk about their final grade. Like this is the week for that. This is the week for like, you know, you've barely shown up to class the whole semester. You've turned in your papers like written on a post-it note and you've gotten a bad grade. Now you care. Now you want to talk about it.
Now it's important.
So I love it. Anyway, boys, I want to talk about Christmas Eve services because we're in that season. Tis the season of Christmas Eve services. Soon we'll be going, probably the three of us, to our own respective Christmas Eve services. And I want you to talk about, the most memorable Christmas Eve service, you've been to as a person. That's good radio.
As a person. As good. Thank you for
who do I have
that
to
up
be to answer this question?
Yeah. Big R, let's start with you. You've been to a lot of these.
Yeah, dude. So, man, I remember this was a while ago, right? But I remember I went to this one service. It was at a big church. And, dude, it was I'm still shocked about it, like, when I think about this thing. This thing was nuts, man. So they had the whole stage decorated like a living room.
Yeah.
Like a modern living room, not all super Christmassy, but just like, oh, dude, like I walked into somebody's like Manhattan apartment kind of a thing, right?
Ooh, yeah.
And I had no idea what was coming. I don't know anything. I don't know what they're doing. This was my church, too, for a little while.
So they decorated it like Tim Keller's living room.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
Interesting.
And so they did, dude, they did this. They reenacted. Well, they didn't reenact anything. They put together like this sitcom performance somehow related to Christmas Eve. I don't even know if it was related to Christmas Eve, but dude, it was crazy. It was like if you went to like NBC Studios and you were the live audience for like an episode of like Seinfeld, right? Yeah. Or something like that. And I mean, dude, they did like this half an hour like sitcom performance. I'm telling you, like there was a minute where I thought they legitimately were using like actors I recognized because it was so good and it was so tight and it was so well acted.
Yeah.
And I'm like looking around going what's going on right now? And they're filming this thing. And I'm like, did we just step into like, I thought this was Christmas Eve service. Is this not really a Christmas Eve service?
Dude, this was like, LA, right? So they probably were like all out of work, like real actors who went to your church.
Dude, it for sure was because it was phenomenal. And I remember we were walking out of there, first off thinking like, what was that? Me and Big M. And secondly, like, dude, that was, I mean, did they all pay these guys? Like, what was the salary that these people got?
Because dude, this thing was insane. What would have been super dope and super punk rock about it is if it had had nothing to do with Christmas at all. It was just like a Seinfeld.
I don't know that
episode.
It did, Big T. I don't know that it did. Right.
It's a Christmas pageant about nothing.
Exactly.
I don't think there was anything Christmassy about it.
It was about how Kramer finds away this Merv Griffin set in the dumpster behind his apartment.
I remember walking away going, hey, when are we going to get to watch this on CBS?
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
After Blue Bloods, right? Yeah. Or whatever.
Right. So. Wow, baby.
That was it for me.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
It was bonkers, man. It was bonkers.
Pipe, what about you? Most memorable Christmas Eve service?
Let's see. I mean, I grew up with decidedly unmemorable Christmas Eve services, except that they happened at 10:45 at night.
Oh yeah,
so I know. We're still sad about that for you.
It was the candlelight thing that then it would end at midnight, so you could wish everybody a Merry Christmas on the way out the door to go sleep for 4 hours until your kids jumped on your face to open presents or whatever.
Yep.
That was an interesting. I feel like the church tradition I grew up in really loved to make people suffer for their, you know, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. You know, like they do a pastor's conference in February in Minnesota because that's the worst time of the year there.
It's the chance to be the most miserable, which is the most reformed thing.
Yeah, they do Christmas Eve services, you know, which are, it's lessons in carols and candlelight, all of which is wonderful. You know, it's these readings from scripture, it's these wonderful Christmas songs, and then it's when everybody wants to be asleep,
yep.
Which, you know, of course, why wouldn't you do it then? But I think the most memorable, I can't remember if it was a Christmas Eve service or just like the Christmas church service at this big mega church I went to in the Nashville area for a while. And they just called it Christmas at Long Hollow because apparently Christmas is better at Long Hollow or any other megachurch because they're all over the South, you know, Christmas at insert megachurch here.
I blew it this year.
Yeah. I mean, like it adds something to Christmas. The birth of Christ needed the megachurch to be extra special. So just remember that in your church planting strategies.
Absolutely.
It was just a show.
Yeah,
it was amazing. So they had hired a voiceover guy to do the readings, but it was like the voice of God. You know, it was like one of these huge resonating voices, and you know they have a sound system that can cause earthquakes, and so you've got this voice of God. But then they have like the laser light shows on the big walls of the auditorium with like stars and trees and camels and just all these different things. And then, you know, and then just replete with the full band of Nashville level musicians doing very rocked up versions of, you know, Christmas carols. You have the peak vocalist doing "O Holy Night," and it just it was
Trans-Siberian orchestra style.
Yeah. It was like that mixed with like the Wow Worship style. So you know, mash those two up a little bit. And then, you know, you got the ugly sweater crowd, but then you have like the unironic ugly sweater crowd because it is a Southern megachurch and, you know, people are like big hair and bright clothes. And it was an utter sensory overload experience that I think everybody should experience once and nobody should experience twice.
Yeah.
Something they were planning since like July too, which is just incredible when you think about it.
Right. Yes. Right.
Here's the other thing I want to know. Here's a question.
Yeah.
It's nuts that you don't hear about like more churches burning down from those candlelight services, man.
Dude, you're right.
Can we just be honest about that? Dude, that's phenomenal that we don't hear like, you know, kind of like after like trick or treat, you know, you always hear about, oh, this kid, you know, was like poisoned and man, this thing happened, that thing happened. There's always these things. Like you never hear about these churches like burning down. How is that possible?
Yeah, they're like, well, let's give a bunch of small children open flames and see what happens.
Dude,
yeah.
Surely their insurance, like there has to be something that all these churches' insurance doesn't allow them to do, but they do it anyway, right? I mean,
there's got to be some rider that they pay extra for that. Like if you do open flames on your Christmas Eve.
You guys, come on, Ron. You work at a church. You know with 100% certainty that nobody at the church reads the small print on any policy, not on how finances work, not on how insurance works, like
dude,
none of the details.
You know why? Because wait for it. Administration really isn't my thing. I'm more of a visionary, right? I'm a big picture guy. I'm a planner. I don't do administration.
Also,
you know, I've only heard every pastor I've ever met say that,
absolutely,
by the way.
Absolutely.
Also because everybody gets A's in seminary, so they didn't have to read the fine print.
Yeah, no, for sure. Too busy reflecting, you know. Too busy reflecting to read that fine print. So
I'm going to try to see if we can burn our place down this year.
There you go, baby. That's the burning your church down is the new not burning your
dude,
church
that's
down.
That's going to be – I mean, you want to talk mega church? Dude, I'm going to blow this thing up literally this year. I want to see if our church can burn down. You want the biggest spectacle in the world? Come to Substance Church, Christmas Eve of the Eve. We're literally going to burn the church
baby,
down.
Baby, you're a hipster. Man. Doesn't your church already meet in like a burned down factory there in Ashland?
But we're going to burn the whole thing down.
How can
you
burn it
see
down
some
anymore?
Christmas lights. Dude, this is going to be Christmas fire, man.
Seriously, that place used to house blast furnaces. You can't burn it
down. Right.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be big, you guys. Seriously, you're going to see this thing emanating from Nashville.
Dude, like real men used to like fabricate metal in that building. You can't burn that thing down.
It will be the biggest Christmas Eve service of all time.
Yeah. Would you say your Christmas Eve service is going to be lit in that case?
Oh, it's going to be lit. Oh. Don't you worry. Oh, it will be lit.com, man. Don't worry.
Wow. Baby, post some pictures on Instagram so Piper can share them with me via text.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we won't have a church after that, but it doesn't matter when you've done something that big.
That's not important. Yeah, you'll have the memories. No. You'll have the pictures.
All that matters is that night.
That's it, man. That's it.
And we've been planning this since, well, I mean, we're already planning what we're going to do 5 years from now after we build the new building and reburn it down.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. In Central Ohio, there's a bunch of abandoned warehouses. You can find another building to refurb in no time.
We will burn down our warehouse every Christmas Eve from now for as long as I'm at this church.
That's a hipster paradise, right? Isn't it, Piper? All the abandoned like industrial buildings in that part of the world, you know?
The Rust Belt.
The Rust Belt. That's exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah. You can go and pretend to be a, you know, metallurgist from the 1920s. I mean, it's really a dream.
And like, we'll have sort of like, we'll reenact like the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We'll do like a play.
Dude, there you go.
Standing in the middle of the fire. We'll kind of advance that and connect it to Christmas somehow. It'll be great. You guys are invited, by the way.
I like it, baby. I like it. We will definitely be there. Yeah. The most memorable Christmas Eve service, I think, for me was, my parents had just, they had just discovered Reformed theology. So we had started going to this Presby church in like the nearest decent sized town, which was Muncie, Indiana. And we started going to this Presby church, and in typical like Presby Reformed fashion, vis-a-vis like misery, they sang every song in the hymnal at like a super slowed down like dirge pace. And it took like 2.5-3 hours to get through the service. And for a kid who was like waiting to open presents, it was just absolute utter misery. And we called that the
Let's Make Baby Jesus Cry service.
Oh, absolutely, dude. Absolutely. Yeah, it was just awful. But the good thing, I think the silver lining in that is that like no Christmas Eve service has ever felt quite that miserable. So it really set the bar. It really set the bar in a way that allowed me to be thankful for the other ones. But boys, one final thing that I'm thankful for, and I know you are too. This is a listener question. Movies that we love, even though we know that they're awful. So what are your favorite movies that you really enjoy, even though you know that they're a terrible movie? And I'll get us started because I watched one of these last night. It's a Christmas movie. It's one of those movies that sort of appears on whatever the modern day like streaming equivalent of cable is. You know, they pop up like the free movies, and the movie is called The Holiday. Are you guys familiar with The Holiday?
Indeed I am.
Yeah, so it's Kate Winslet, Jack Black, and the super tall, skinny, good-looking actor whose name I can't think of, British dude.
Jude Law.
Yeah, so it's about
Cameron Diaz.
Oh, Cameron Diaz, yeah, who really can't act her way out of a paper bag. So apologies to the Diaz family if you're listening. That's tough to hear on this program.
They'll be at my Christmas Eve service. It's cool.
Dude, but yeah, so we watched it last night, and like, my comment to KK was, A, this movie is a turd, but B, I fully enjoy this movie. Like, I fully enjoy every minute of this garbage movie. And I don't know, it's set in England. It's in this little stone cottage, and then there's like a Los Angeles
Isn't
story.
Isn't it about an American who, like, you know, one of those, like, the hyper-stressed, successful American who goes to England for a holiday or something? Yes. It's a house swap. That's right. And then they both fall in love. Sorry, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
They fall in love.
Dude, and it's a totally morally bankrupt movie. That's the other thing. Like, I'm kind of ashamed for liking it. But, like, yeah, Cameron Diaz gets to England, and she, like, sets her suitcase down, and 6 seconds later, she's having sex with Jude Law, and like there's really nothing redeeming at all about the movie.
Would you say it includes some content?
Dude, yes, it has some content. There are, quote, a few scenes, you know, there are a few scenes that, you know, some content, but yeah, that's one for me. And then the ultimate example of this for me is Rocky IV. Rocky IV is 88 minutes of hot garbage. It's like an 88-minute music video. It's a turd. It's a terrible movie, but I love it. And I've probably seen it 100 times.
I think my favorite thing about this segment is that you unironically call movies turds, and it just gives me great joy.
Yeah, that's just the word. That's what some of them are, you know?
Actually, I'm really happy that you kind of name-check Rocky Rocky IV is garbage too, because like, just because like you love something doesn't mean it has to be great. So like the argument that you would have with other people is like, no, Ronnie, it's a great movie. It's like, no. It can be super enjoyable and not be great, like from a movie standard or perspective.
Absolutely. Like Brett McCracken is not going to be writing a 4,000 word essay about Rocky IV anytime soon, but it's still a super fun movie to watch.
Yeah. Agreed.
Big R, what are yours, man?
Man, go to Pipe, man. I just blank out on stuff like this and topics like this. So what do you got, Pipe?
I think mine would include Jason Statham's entire catalog of movies.
Dude, that's so like true.
They're just objectively horrific movies. And I never don't enjoy them.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, and if, you know, if they're on TV and you're clicking channels, you're like, I will watch 8 minutes of Transporter 6.
Yeah.
Just, you know, he has 3 facial expressions and he beats people up and he's ruggedly handsome and he's bald and he's got that, I don't know what it is, like Liverpudlian accent or whatever it is. It's just sort of like there's nothing good about them, and they're so delightfully just explosively awful.
You know what he is?
Fun.
He's the Cameron Diaz of men.
Because she's like always bubbly and charming and occasionally manic, and he's like grim and fierce and then occasionally just insanely angry.
And he's always driving. He's always a driver. Nobody drives as hotly as this actor. You know, he's always driving. He's like that guy. Yeah, Statham.
Yeah, Jason Statham. I mean, if he has a movie coming out and I see a preview for, like, I go to the movies to see something that's good, and I see a preview for one of his, like, I put it in my phone. Like, this is movie that I will make note of to see when it comes out.
Dude, but you won't go to the theater for it, probably.
No, absolutely not. I'm not that much of a...
Dude, I don't think anybody in the history of cinema has ever gone to the theater to see a Jason Statham movie. They're the ultimate, like, cable movies. You know, like, you're flipping channels.
On cable.
Yeah, they go like straight to cable, and you're super pumped to see them whenever you run across one. That's a great one, Pipe. Big R, any insights? Have you thought about
it? Yeah, I mean, first, let me just say that I think my second reform name will be Liverpudlian Keller Martin for my reform child's name.
LK Martin? Yeah, I like it.
Liverpudlian Keller. LK Martin, yeah.
LK Martin.
Okay, so this is what I'm going to have to do, because I'm not... Big M doesn't like movies. I don't see a lot of movies. That's not really her thing. But this is what I do, and you guys will know this and appreciate this. So I read a lot of really bad Christmas fiction novels that admittedly are absolutely horrendous, but I like them. And I just finished one called Christmas by the Sea by Melody Carlson, who's a big name and a big player in Christmas fiction. And,
big player in the Christmas fiction world.
A big player.
A mover and a shaker.
Dude, I don't know what it is, but it's like the story. I mean, you know, it's almost like you can literally quote the next chapter before you even get to it.
She already knows
what's going on.
She goes to the coastline to like work through some things emotionally that she's going through. And she goes to the bakery and there's a really nice guy there in a sweater who's like really down to earth. And then she has to decide whether she wants to fall in love with that guy or stay with like her stockbroker boyfriend, like back in the city. Is that the storyline of it?
Baby, you're so close.
Dude, no, I know.
You're you're incredibly close.
I see you two have read Nicholas Sparks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, but dude, Nicholas Sparks, I mean, dude, he's like the Einstein of fiction.
Yeah, he's like J.D. Salinger. He's like David Foster Wallace
stuff. I mean, dude, seriously, man. I mean, he's like the J.I. Packer of Christmas fiction compared with these people that I'm reading, man. Dude, I'm not kidding, man. Yeah, I mean, Sparks is like way up. You're like, oh, dude, Sparks. Yeah, I mean, hard for me to even read. It's hard for me to even understand Sparks novels. I got to read them like twice, right?
Dude, right. You could take whole college classes on the Nicholas Sparks novel. That's a class I'm teaching.
Yeah, I mean, I'd still get an A in it. But,
of course you would. Yeah, your insights are wonderful.
Even though you don't understand.
I'd have no clue. But yeah, but these are
understanding
like, these
it
are like
doesn't these, matter anymore.
These are like the Christian versions of these things where there's just – and this is what's been fascinating over the last few years is like these Christmas Christian fiction novels, they don't have to have a lot of Christianity in them anymore at all. Like,
dude, so okay. So my favorite thing about that –
how
do they sneak in the Christianity?
It'll like be what? Like, seriously. So I just read this book, A Christmas by the Sea by Melody Carlson. And my wife just hates that I admitted that right now, by the way, guys. That's just like Big M is bummed that the world now knows that. But that's what it is. So here's what it is. She literally, in the entire book, she met, there was like one time where they, that, you know, her and her son, because she's a single mom, she's a widowed mom. See how close you were, Big T? Like they broke down at some point and they prayed. Yeah. That was literally, that was the entirety of the Christian content in the book.
Dude, that's vintage Melody Carlson, though. Oh, I mean, that's what Melody. She does. She's going to give you a little of that.
Vintage, you
know?
Melody.
Well, to be fair, they're also, they're not very gritty and there's not really any content. So you know, they avoid the questionable aspects of, you know, that romance.
Right. There's not a few
stories
scenes.
can tip into.
It's a Christian version of The Holiday minus the fornication.
I'm in.
Sold.
Baby, don't buy it. I'll send it to you as a gift after I burn my church down for Christmas Eve.
Dude, yeah. Make sure you rescue the Melody Carlson library from the fire, though.
I will.
And
I
ship
will,
it off
sure.
to me. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Boys, we've done what we always do on this program. We've wandered to and fro throughout these topics. A real, like, diverse set of topics today. I feel like we, you know, we covered a lot of grounds. So good on us for doing that. And make sure you run, don't walk, to LagarusRoasters.com. With each bag you buy, just know that you're helping us build our coffee empire. So,
which in this case will help Ronnie rebuild his church.
Dude, right. It's cause months. Marketing at this point. So you can feel good about knowing that proceeds from every bag of coffee you buy go to us. And we have indeed wandered to and fro. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
The Historical Jesus Podcast is the sweeping saga of the life and times of Galilean Jesus of Nazareth, as well as the faith, religion, and church founded to honor and disseminate his acts and teachings. Join me, Mark Vinette, on this fascinating journey through time, exploring the many great works of Christian theology, literature, architecture, music, and art, inspired by the words and deeds of Jesus Christ.